And joining us right now at PMP Network is the lovely Stephanie Powers. You all remember the Stephanie from her wonderful work in The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. and Heart to Heart. And she is doing many other things. Of course, she's garnered a couple of Emmy nominations and 5 Golden Globe nominations. And she's currently featured in a film on the Hallmark Channel called Meet My Mom. And she joins us right now on PMP Network. How are you, Stephanie?
Very well, thank you.
Nice to meet you. I'm a big admirer of your past work, but there are many things, many facets of your life besides being in some TV series.
Well, yes. I've been doing this a long time, obviously. You know, I began my career when I was 16 years old, and the studio system was still in place, and I was one of the Red Hot's contract players.
You did a 5-year contract with Columbia, right?
That's correct. And in those days, they really put you to work because they put me in three movies a year for 5 years, and I hardly had a chance to breathe.
Well, if you think about it now, I mean, was it too much for a kid to do? If you had to do it over again, would you want to do something different?
Well, we had some very good role models. You know, we were not. You know, life was very different. We did not have a kind of freer society. We had, we were still living in the mores of post-war America, and the 1960s were tested all of that, And life changed in the 70s. So, but in the 60s, it was still very, people were still very much more, conventional.
Mm. Now, when you did all these 15 movies when you were a kid, and this is from age 15 to 20, some of the movies we know, like Experiment in Terror and The Interns and Love Has Many Faces, but out of all the movies that you did, were any of them more memorable to you, or are they all kind of mesh?
Oh, I love McClintock with John Wayne, and my goodness. Then later on, I had the wonderful, wonderful opportunity of working with such extraordinary stars, Lana Turner, of course, John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara, Cliff Robertson, there's a huge list.
Exactly, yeah.
My brain is not, they're not all popular. Glenn Ford, Lee Remick, Bing Crosby, Helen Hayes.
Yeah, you pretty much work with every...
Luba Bankhead.
Yeah.
And Ava Gardner. You know, to be able to be exposed to those almost iconic names, in an industry where we were all taught to look up to, all of our all these people who had created the industry that we wanted to be in, it was really it was quite a privilege.
Did the people treat a young girl like yourself with the proper respect and things when
we treated them with respect.
they didn't have
to treat us with respect. We knew our place, and but they were very, very good mentors. And Joan Crawford used to write me notes about observations she saw in some of my work. They felt very much as if they had a responsibility in the industry to help the talent that was under contract to the studios that they were under contract to.
Mm. Now, were any of these folks particularly attentive to you, aside from the one you just mentioned, in terms of giving you, advice and actually pulling you aside?
Well, Joan Crawford, that's a pretty good name.
That's a very good name, yeah. Well, when Mummy Dearest came out, did you believe all the stuff they wrote about her?
No, because I didn't see that part of her life. And I wasn't exposed to any of that. She was just very kind to me, and even when I met her, and we happened to meet while traveling on a TWA flight to New York, and we sat together, and talked the whole way to New York. She was nothing but gracious. So it was difficult for me to accept that other side of her life.
Mm. Before you came on, we actually played the theme song from The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. Tell us how that came about, going from and metamorphosizing from all the movies.
When I was under contract to Columbia, I wasn't really allowed to do television. But as as television was really becoming a force, there were some opportunities that were offered to me, but Columbia turned them down. Until one day, they told me I'd been sold to, my contract had been sold to MGM, and I was going there to do a television series.
So you had no choice in the whole matter.
Well, yes, of course I did. I could have not done it and also been out of a job. But in those days, a lot of decisions were made for you.
Yeah.
You had the choice to turn them down, but you'd go on suspension from the studio or you'd be fired.
Were your parents managers for you, or did you actually have a different manager?
I had an agent and a business manager. But, of course, I was, for the bulk of the time I was under contract to Columbia, I was still under 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was the legal age.
Hmm.
So my mother traveled with me. She accompanied me on locations. And when I first began, she, until the age of 18, you had to have a parent or a guardian on the set with you. So mom was with me, but she was never a kind of, stage mother.
Hmm. Did you grow up quickly? I mean, were you a pretty mature 15-year-old?
I was mature in the regard of knowing how or being conscious of my responsibilities to behave, shall I say,
mm-hmm.
respectfully toward this my position and the responsibilities I was given. I was probably much more immature emotionally because I was sheltered.
Yeah. What did you think about The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. when you first went on the set for MGM and they said, here's what you're doing?
Well, of course, I'd seen The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of instrumental in influencing them to hire Noel Harrison. And I had just come back from doing movies in England, where all of that, kind of mods and rockers and Beatles and everything was popping over there and
mm-hmm.
really had not invaded. I mean, the Beatles invasion of the United States had happened, but all of that pop culture that was associated with it hadn't made it entirely across the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back with all these clothes and from Carnaby Street. I thought, oh my God, we have to incorporate that in her character. So we created these sort of mid-Atlantic characters with a very tongue-in-cheek sort of approach to it.
Mm-hmm. It worked.
I think The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was a little bit straighter in their approach, and our producers and writers started putting us in the most hilarious circumstances. So, it was all kind of pop art.
And you and Noel were a good team, so you actually were instrumental in hiring him, huh?
Yeah, because I had seen him in San Francisco when he was performing.
Hmm.
And I thought it would be great if we had the kind of rapport that we could bring to these two characters. And the success of the show it was building, and unfortunately, the producer had an emotional breakdown, and at the time when most producers would be able to go in and fight for you at the network, so we were abandoned, along with The Man from U.N.C.L.E., because it was their last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when the time comes for the for a producer to go in and really make a difference with a network about their shows, we didn't have anybody to fight for us.
Right. So what was that like, that period right after the show ended?
Pardon?
Did you go, we did
a full season, which in those days was 26 shows.
Right. But after the season ended, what did you, did you go out to the stage? Did you do more movies? What did you end up doing for a while?
Actually, I did. I did a couple of musicals in summer stock. But then I went back into movies and did Stagecoach for 20th Century Fox. And that was followed by one of the Herbie movies. So I went back into films.
Yeah, yeah. And you've done. It's amazing how many films you've actually done, and miniseries too. You've done more than 20 miniseries as well.
Yes, I think the Washington Behind Closed Doors was the first miniseries. And it was 12 hours long.
Yeah. Well, you've been very busy. And, of course, many of the younger folks out there might remember you more from Heart to Heart, because not only was it on television and you got two Emmy Awards and nominations and five Golden Globe nominations, but also they start spinning out a bunch of movies, too, two-hour movies on that, too.
Yes, we did. I think we did 8 two-hour movies.
Mm.
When we revisited it some years after it had stopped as an hourly show, but in and among all of these things, I traveled the world extensively and became deeply involved in wildlife conservation long before it really became a very popular issue. My longtime life partner and great love was an actor called William Holden. And Bill had gone out to Africa, East Africa, in the 1950s, well before anybody even thought about anything associated with conservation or wildlife preservation. And he began to build a conservation effort for 37 species of East African wildlife, which he was accompanied in that effort by two partners. And after Bill's death, his two partners and I were dedicated to building one of the things Bill wanted to do before he died but didn't have a chance to, which was to build an education system and a center that would back up the specific animal preservation that had been ongoing for a long time. And now we have the William Holden Wildlife Foundation, which opened its doors we received our IRS status in 1982, and we opened our doors for our first guests in January of 1983. And we have been receiving free of charge East African students and adults for seminars with our own curricula of teaching biodiversity, the importance of habitat preservation for humans and animals, and the importance of preserving the food chain as it is being so rapidly destroyed.
Well, I know that
we serve about 11,000 students a year.
I know that you actually live part-time in Kenya.
I do.
And folks out there, if you're interested in the foundation, it's www.whwf.org.
No, it's, whwf.org.
Yep.
That's all they have to remember.
Yep, that's what. Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about one thing that I thought was really impressive is that 100% of everything that's donated goes directly to fund the works. There's no, you don't pay yourself. You actually pay a lot of the expenses all out of your pocket.
I pay all the expenses of the operation of the 501c3 out of my pocket. Hmm. So no money is diverted before it gets to the project.
That's a wonderful thing.
Well, we wanted to make sure that people understood that nobody was dining out on this foundation. Far too often we see huge expenses taken out of a donor's dollar, which creates a very bad image for an awful lot of the good organizations that are out there. We have professionals who work with us in Kenya, but we don't have professional fundraisers. We don't have people who live off of donor money.
Exactly, and that's to be commended, because you're doing everything for the wildlife and for the preservation of 37 species of East African wildlife. It's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Talking about impressive, we should talk about the Hallmark Channel movie, too, called Meet My Mom. It premieres Saturday, May 8th at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And you portray the mother of Lori Loughlin. I really think it's a wonderful little film. What did you think?
Oh, nice. Thank you. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
But it was lovely to do, and Lori's adorable, and we had a very nice time filming it.
It's a tour story about a family that... And about a 10-year-old son, life after a divorce.
I think it's very
nice.
It's a very current sort of a story because very poignant for some of our brave warriors who are coming back from the theaters of war that we've been dealing with. Their conundrum about starting a relationship knowing that they're going to go back, or continuing a relationship knowing that they're going to be in harm's way when they return, as well as a relationship from the point of view of my daughter, or from women who are single mothers after an early unsuccessful marriage, which we see constantly, and their gun shy about starting anything to do with another relationship, and because of a failed one, and I think that's something young women are dealing with in a world where second chances are sometimes very difficult to find.
Exactly.
And,
it's an upbeat and a wholesome movie, which is a nice thing to watch.
It's a family channel, you know. It's one that it promises, and I think fulfills its promise of good family entertainment. And we all know that going in, which is why we tune into the Hallmark Channel.
Now, my dog Lucy asked me to ask about your 9 dogs. She says you have 9 dogs.
Oh, your dog Lucy.
Yes,
what
I have a dog Lucy. She's an adorable little Lazapoo.
Oh, fabulous.
But she doesn't like other dogs, but she said to me that she should ask about the other 9 dogs.
Oh, okay. All of my dogs are rescues, and the big ones are, the larger ones are in Africa, where I also live and have a home,
mm-hmm.
and they were rescued from, can you imagine what a shelter is like in Nairobi?
Mm.
They were living in pretty terrible circumstances.
So
but
you rescue
now
them.
Not.
Yeah, and you have 21 horses as well, right?
I do.
Yeah.
A lot of those are retirees.
Yeah.
Some are not. I play polo, so that's why I need so many horses.
Well, I must tell you that after 55 years of life myself, I think that animals are a lot more pure and nice than most of the humans I've met, so. It's just my own feeling, anyway.
Well, I've never really met a bad animal. I've met an animal who's had a bad experience with a human being, which, you know, sometimes gives them a disadvantage, but on the whole, they've given me great joy in my life, and my animal companions are are truly important to me.
Well, you talked about William Holden, and of course the foundation is named after him. But a lot of people associate you with Robert Wagner because of Heart to Heart, but you guys actually were socially together for a while too, right?
No.
Oh, really?
Never.
Oh, I thought you were.
No.
Wait, I assume you're
romantically, no, never.
Oh, okay. You're still friends
socially,
with Bob?
Yes, we see each other all the time.
Yeah.
But romantically, no. We were never associated.
Well, see, that's in the minds of everybody who watched that show. The chemistry was so genuine.
We were involved with other people. Yeah. And very supportive of one another because Bill died in 1981, and 2 weeks later, Natalie Wood died.
Mm.
So we both had to cope with a very trying and difficult time.
Mm.
And I think it bonded us as friends. And that was more important to us at the time.
Any chance for another Heart to Heart reunion movie?
I don't think so. It's been talked about as everybody talks about some of the shows that they held dearly. We did have we did revisit the show when we did the 2-hour movies, and I think we put a period at the end of the sentence.
Cause that was the mid-90s, so that was a while ago. Yeah. But now I was thinking of all the things you've done, and we haven't even, by the way, we haven't scratched the surface for all you folks out there. You should just do a little research on the incredible career of Stephanie Powers, which continues as we speak. You've done a CD, which I have not heard yet, but I've heard good things about it. Many other things. Now, all this stuff, it makes a good book, and I understand that's going to come out too.
Yes. Last year I had two rather life-changing events. One was the death of my mother, who had been such a good friend and such a good companion. And we had shared, I live in two other countries, so my house in Los Angeles, I shared with my mother for the last 27 years of her life. We were friends as well as mother and daughter, which is an unusual relationship,
mm-hmm.
Sadly. And certainly one that's usually unusual when it's associated with the movie business. But at the same time that she was suffering from kind of debilitating effects of pneumonia, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And so these two events, back to back, were quite illuminating of life and my life. And in the months that passed after her death and my surgery, it was a natural period of reflection, as you can well understand. And I had been asked before on several occasions to write a book, and I guess I was in a weak moment because I've been writing this book since August, and I'm delivering it in May, the middle of May. So it's a rather, it's been a very concentrated period of time to write a book. And I'm doing this myself, so it is my writing. And I'm on the last two chapters, so I'm looking forward to delivering the manuscript. Then we have to go through the editing process and sorting of all the photographs and all of that. So it'll be published in October. In the meantime, I must return to England, where I also spend a great deal of time because I work in the theater in England a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be doing a film there in the summer called Red Carnations, and when I return, I have to go straight to work rehearsing a cabaret show which we're doing in San Francisco at the Raz Room, and in New York at Feinstein's at the Regency Hotel.
So, how are you feeling? Are you?
And then the book comes out in October, so I've got quite a lot on my.
Are you 100% recovered?
I thank God. The cancer was discovered early, surgeon removed the top of my right lung, and thank God those the great diagnostics that we have and the great procedures that we have now are available to us, because it was contained, and my CT scans have been clear.
Well, that's great news. Because you know something, you need to be able to breathe with your schedule.
yes, I breathe regularly.
You got quite the schedule. No, I just said, I have to ask this because someone named Ed Simkus sent this thing through, he's a writer in Boston, sent this through Facebook to ask you. So I'm going to ask you this because I don't know what anything about it. So he said, I'd love if you could verify a rumor for me. I heard that Stephanie was the voice of Hal during rehearsals for 2001. Is
that's
that true?
That's right. I was the first voice of Hal.
Ah.
And I was, my boyfriend was Gary Lockwood at the time, who then we then married after that. And he and Keir DeLay were the two astronauts in the movie. And I was visiting them. I was visiting Gary when I got news that The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. had sold, and I went back to start filming on that. But I had spent quite a bit of time in England, and of course the set of 2001 was such an exciting place to be that I couldn't avoid going there. And while I was there, everybody was put to work. So and Stanley Kubrick was had wonderful analytical mind, but he always wanted to test everything. So before he made any decisions, he always tested how it might be. So in the case of the voice of Hal, I know he wanted the voice to be androgynous, meaning neither male or female, but he had to test it first. So I was the first female voice, and then I was replaced by Nigel Davenport, who's an English actor with an incredibly deep baritone voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he settled on the voice that he got, which was the idea that he had from the very beginning, but he had to show the studio and show himself that he was right.
That's interesting. Yeah, so folks, you can see Stephanie, of course, in the film for Hallmark Channel, Meet My Mom, which premieres on the 8th, and it'll be after that as well, so make sure you look at your local listings. And as you just heard Stephanie tell you, her schedule is very busy, and we hope that in October we can speak to you about the new book.
I hope so. Yeah, that would be lovely.
It was an absolute pleasure meeting you. I was a big fan, and now I'm even a bigger fan.
Well, thank you so much.
You take care of yourself.
I hope you enjoy the movie, and I hope you'll enjoy the book.
Well, I've already seen the movie and I enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to the book.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.